Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Today, one of the great true walk-on stories of Iowa Hawkeye football, Nick Easley, joins the podcast. He talks about going from high school to junior college to committing to Iowa State to then decommitting and deciding to go with the black and gold 14 days before mid-semester. It's a hell of a story. Sit back, relax, just have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Wash Up Walk-Ons fans, to another episode, another great episode, to be honest, because we're on a roll here. We've got some serious firepower in our archive of guests for this offseason. We've pretty much just been putting out the content, and today is no different. It's going to be a little bit different than the one we just did, because I think the guy who we just had a conversation with might have wanted to be playing a touch more professional than the guy we're about to have a conversation with, because he asked if there was no limits to the podcast. We told him there's absolutely no fucking limits, dude. The rails are off this. They fell off the podcast a long time ago. Yeah. The training wheels so far gone. So I think you guys are in for a pretty enjoyable conversation with one of the best walk-ons ever at Iowa. I'm naming it now, because my man came in and had no business producing and just produced at a level higher than any of us. This guy, man coverage monster. Man, I don't even know what to say. Just Julian Edelman 2.0. Nick, welcome to the podcast. This has been a long time coming.
Thanks for having me, boys. Let's go. I'm excited.
What an intro. I mean, would you expect anything less from Drake there, Nick?
Absolutely not. He had me smiling
this guy,
the whole time.
Listen, guys. So I was not a Nick Easley fan when you first walked in the door.
No one was.
And let me tell you why. Because this guy committed and decommitted and committed again to a different team, walk-on style, on Twitter. And I was pissed.
Yeah,
I'm like, I don't know who this JUCO All-American thinks he is. And then he walks in the door and already runs the crispiest routes in the building, and I'm like, okay, so let's see what white boys got. And then he just turned out to be one of the coolest dudes ever. So it's been a pleasure to watch you play ball, Nick.
Thank you, I appreciate that. That's one hell of a story, actually. We got to get into that, but that was an interesting time for me. All right, so we'll just start from the beginning. So we'll bring it back all the way to high school. So yes. So I'm about junior year in high school, and I was kind of a late bloomer, but my junior year, I kind of come around. And I started thinking I was kind of sick. So I'm going into my junior year. Like, I kind of had like a pretty sweet year. You know, I caught some touchdowns, did some cool shit. And then, so I'm going into my senior year and I didn't really have a lot of offers or anything, but like, you know, I was getting hit up a little bit by some schools, going to some camps and stuff. And I'm like, oh, I'll be good. Like, someone will take me, you know, it'll all be good. So,
that's kind of how I felt too.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, you're kind of young and naive at that time.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I go into my senior year, it's our first game, and I scored like 3 touchdowns in the first half, just saw some people up, and yes. We're beating this team pretty bad. And so I go in the second half, I go back to like return a punt, and I think I was supposed to be out of the game, but I was like, all right, coach, let me go return this one more punt. So I go in the game, and I had been watching like one too many Tavon Austin highlight tapes before. So I like try to reverse this thing all across the field, and some scrub just rolls up on my ankle and just torques it. And it was bad. Like, it was pretty bad. So I kind of, like, hobbled through the rest of the year. Didn't really have a very good year because I was hurt the whole time. Coming out, I had, like, one offer from Missouri Western, and they wanted me to punt and play receiver.
Wow.
And I was just like, man, I don't know about that. Like, I don't want to punt. Like, that's not me. So I was, and you know, specialists, my brother kicked at UNI. Like, I love specialists.
Yeah. No
that's,
disrespect.
See, that's the way that I knew anything about you, is that your brother was roommates with one of my best friends. So it's a pretty small
Griff,
world.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, no disrespect to the specialist either, because if I could have actually played linebacker, like a more athletic position at a Division I level, I would have done it, but yeah, wasn't in the cards.
Yeah. So I was like looking for a school, and then, shoot, Iowa Western Community College, which I really had never heard of before, was like, hey, you know, come here. Like, we think you could be pretty good. And I'm like,
Iowa Western Community College is Muscatine Community College West, dude. There for a while, dude. We were shooting some muskies over to Iowa Western.
You guys always got some guys over there, right?
Yep. Got guys all around the community college scene.
Yeah. Community College Central right there. So I go up to Council Bluffs, and you know, it was a rude awakening. My freshman year, I get there, I'm like, where the hell am I? And what am I doing out here? You know, everyone was really good. Like, I thought I would kind of go there and like be pretty good, but everyone was sick. Like, my freshman year, I'm like, what is going on? And we got like 2 dudes in front of me that ended up going to the league at receiver.
You got,
like,
you had, you play behind Gmo?
So we had Anthony Johnson. Gmo had left. We had Anthony Johnson, who's with the Chargers now, and then Taj Williams, who I think he's in the CFL now, actually.
And you had this one guy named Nick Easley, who is tearing it up.
Nick froze a little bit there.
Yeah, sorry. What'd you say? I got you now.
I said they had this guy named Nick Easley that happened
just
to tear it up.
I'm just some scrub behind him. So I literally had like 15 catches my freshman year, and I was just pissed off. I remember calling my dad. I'm like, man, maybe this football stuff just isn't for me, Dad. And he's like, I think you should keep growing, keep grinding, like at least come back for your sophomore year. Cause we knew, you know, I was going to play more. So I come back my sophomore year, ended up doing pretty well, led junior college in receptions. I had like, I don't know, like 80 catches in like 11 games.
Jeez. You were a first team All-American. Yeah.
First team All-American.
See, that's where I was like, wait a second. Who's this kid?
Mm-hmm. I know. So it was cool. So I was like, you know, I was looking for school. I thought I would be getting some big offers, because like usually in JUCO, if you ball out like that, you know, you get some offers.
Yeah. Yeah, but have you walked by a mirror lately?
Yeah, exactly. I'm just some short little average ass looking white kid. So I'm like waiting for these things to come, and I got some like Missouri Valley offers, and then I got Iowa State just kind of sitting there like the whole time, and they're like, well, maybe we'll offer you a scholarship, maybe we won't, whatever.
Sounds like a Paul Rhodes
ball janking. So I was just kind of sitting there, and I go on like these 2 visits. And I was a mid-year transfer or whatever, so I had to make a decision pretty quick after the season. Yeah. So I remember I go on 2 visits. I decided my top 2 schools were Illinois, Western Illinois and Southern Illinois. So, I mean, respect to those programs, like appreciate them offering
me. Yeah, they're not bad at all.
Yeah, it was great. You know, I went on these visits and I remember coming back with my dad, and I'm like, Dad, this isn't for us. Like, I don't want to go there. Like, that's not going to work out. And he's like, well, what do you think about Iowa State? And I'm like, well, like, I think if I just get my foot in the door there, like, I can play. Like, that's the way it's always been. You know, I just need to get on the field. And so I'm like, we're like, well, I guess we're crazy for, you know, turning down a full ride scholarship to go walk on, but that's what we're going to do.
So that's the walk on mentality, man.
Yeah, exactly. So I commit to Iowa State, and it was like kind of a big deal because like everyone from my hometown is, you know, big Iowa State guys because we're about 30 minutes from Ames.
Old Newton.
And so I'm like, guess that's where we're rolling. And I was, you know, not very psyched about it because I was a huge Iowa fan growing up, and both my parents graduated from Iowa, but we bought Iowa State clothing that Christmas and thought we were going to Iowa State. And then Christmas night, Tyler Barnes texted me and he's like, hey, would you possibly be interested in switching and coming to Iowa? And I'm like, yes, absolutely. Sign me up.
Right. Was so it really quick?
Well, I kind of played hard to get for about probably a half hour. And then, I played hard to get like all night. And then Kirk Ferentz called me the next day.
Oh, wow.
And he's like, Nick, like, look, we watch your tape. We're really late getting to you and we don't have a scholarship for you, but I can promise you if you can play how we think you can play, like you will play right away. And I'm like, that sounds crazy saying that to a, you know, a kid who's going to walk on mid year, but shoot, let's go. Like, that's the dream. That's what I always wanted to do. So about, I don't know, 19 days before the semester started, I'm like, I'm going to Iowa. And I deleted the Iowa State tweet and put an Iowa one up.
Let's go.
Unbelievable, dude. What a story.
Uh-huh.
So it's so weird that it just feels like for some reason, Iowa City's got that draw, like even more than you. I mean, Drake, we've sat here in front of so many. I feel like, I mean, we haven't had that many guests on, but it seems like the story just comes up over and over. It's like, well, eventually Iowa said, hey, you could walk on. And every guy is just like, yeah.
Fuck it, let's do it, man.
I want to walk on.
When the dawn of the Big Ten, the dawn of college football, my second dad calls you
our dad.
And says, listen, you coming here.
How do you turn that down? KF gets on the phone. He's like, hey Nick, I'll tell you, we watch your tape. And if you could play, you know, we'll get you on the field, right?
Exactly. You can't say no to that, right? So,
the reputation is too good. Yeah. I mean, when you know the history.
You hear his voice on the phone and you just start to shake a little.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dude,
think it'd be you.
Yeah, I didn't even talk to Coach Ferentz. That's how big of a fanboy I was. Coach Morgan gave me the opportunity and I was just like, or no, Coach Herb and Coach Morgan were both like, yeah, I mean, we'd like you to walk on. I was like, yep, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Even sure KF knew that he had a linebacker that wore number 54 that first year. In 2013, he may have thought his defense was void of the number 54.
He knew there was a number 55, though, because that was Collins. What was his first name? Who is that guy? I don't know,
but he played with his hair on fire.
Absolutely blew people up. Yep. Oh, my God, what was his first name? I'll have to come back to it. But anyway, Nick, so that story – I didn't even know that part about you. You were going to be a Cyclone, and then you're like, we'll go to the Hawkeyes.
Yeah, it was a crazy time. I mean, I'm glad it worked out the way it did, and I didn't end up in Ames, right?
So, yeah.
That would have been such a tragedy, dude.
It would have been horrible.
Your career would have looked so much worse.
Yeah.
No, I always wonder what would have happened, like, you know, how it would have worked out. But, like, I mean, it couldn't have worked out as well as it did. I mean, I got to play for the team I loved growing up and play
and score
Iowa
touchdowns and against those clowns.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, Drake said you walked in the door, and it's true. You walked in the door, and it was like, this guy's got a little swag to him. Like he was crispy, like you said.
Yeah.
And I mean, you were noticed right away. I mean, if you can play, you'll get on the field, especially at Iowa, and that's what you did. What did you?
You were
think
blessed with some sweet feet, though.
Yeah, I mean,
not everybody can do that. You know,
yeah,
fall down.
Yeah,
what did you think of when you walked in the door?
Pops. When I walked in, I mean, honestly, I never grinded like as hard as I did that first spring I was there. Like I wasn't like at first I was just happy to be a Hawk. You know, I was like, let's go.
Yeah.
Like, I play for Iowa. Like that's sick. But then when I got there and like the first day I got there, I remember this actually kind of set me off for the first like few weeks. So the first day I get there, Coach Doyle comes up to me. I'm scared of shit. He introduces himself. I'm like, Nick Easley, you know, nice to meet you, whatever. He's like, yeah, Iowa Western, right? I'm like, yeah. He's like, his first thing he ever says to me, he looks at Ronnie Nash. He goes, yeah, we've never had a good player from Iowa Western. And I'm like, what did you just say to me? And so I'm like, literally, that stuck in my head for a full year. I'm like, you're going to see, like, this, okay, bet. That was literally my first introduction to Iowa football, first day, like, FMS testing.
That's the biggest, I mean, that is so Coach Doyle, I've never heard.
That's the most Coach Doyle thing I've ever heard, period.
Yeah.
I've never
heard. I mean, he probably did it on purpose.
Oh, and
probably did it on purpose, dude. 100%. That was 100% all for motivation.
Oh, Doyle is,
and it worked.
Yeah, Doyle is 200% calculated in everything he does, and I can see his face as he says that. And anyone who knows him and has been around him for more than the time, you know, you're literally meeting him for the first time, so you don't know if he's serious or not.
Yeah,
but I guarantee that everybody else was sitting there like, that's funny, Doyle. Like, that's something hilarious. But for you.
You were shook.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, 100%. Dude, I was like, what the hell? Like, really, my first day? Like, what?
Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Wardy.
How are we doing,
Nick? What up, dude? Good, how are you?
How's it, dude? I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Doing well, doing
well.
Wearing
that Game of Thrones shirt.
I'm a big fan of the shirt, man. I think he did that on purpose.
The North remembers, man. Yeah, man. Me and Nick, we were both big fans of the Game of Thrones memes.
Hell yeah, so, we grinded it out. Did we watch the last season together? Or you would always come over?
We did, yeah. 56 Arbery.
But there's nothing better than when we watched the seventh season in the complex on the big screen.
That was awesome.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah, I wish I would have been into Game of Thrones at that time. I didn't get in. Everyone always talks about that. I'm upset that I missed that.
We had like 15 to 20 guys on the defensive side of the team room, had it projecting up onto the screen. Oh man,
that's legendary.
Yeah. Kevin, how you doing?
Doing good, guys. How's it going?
It's good. Anything for Nick Easley here, our boy? Any specific questions or topics you want to bring up early in the pod here?
Kev's froze.
Yeah, I know. He's got that Gervais internet.
Stuff, dude. That cost cutter internet right there.
Dude, seriously. We've already talked about how Gervais is such a stingy little bastard. God,
he's horrible, man.
Yeah.
Awful.
So I'm doing this on my phone right now because my computer won't even connect to the internet. So I'm just doing it over. Service.
Yeah.
Internet service. You should. If you're doing it on your phone, you should go closer to the Casey's that Jake's trying to steal the shit from. So at least you can steal it from closer.
That doesn't make any sense. Why? I'm on my phone. I'm not on the Wi-Fi.
Oh, I don't know. I was just trying to make another Jake joke.
So
I'm all for it.
Ease, you walked in and you had 2 years to play, right?
Yeah, yep. And I had a redshirt year too. I thought I would redshirt, honestly, the first year, but I was out the window by like third spring ball practice.
Yeah, I mean, talk about that first spring ball and kind of where you felt that you fit in and where you kind of realized, oh, I'm gonna make a little impact here.
Yeah, you know, I was honestly really lucky. For Coach Copeland coming in at that time, coming in with me because he didn't have any knowledge of, you know, it was his first spring too.
Right.
So I kind of came in with a fresh slate there, which was really, really good for me and honestly really helpful because I remember before the first spring ball practice, he like came up to me and he sat me down and he's like, hey, like I get you're a walk on, it's your first semester, but like I'm new here too. Like we don't have a lot of depth here at receiver. Like your ass better be ready to compete right away because like you can play. And so
your ass.
yeah. So I came in and I remember by like third spring ball practice, I was finally getting some reps with like, you know, I don't know, ones and twos and stuff. And really just trying to grind and just trying to focus. And I was just so focused on moving up that depth chart at that time. Like I wasn't even thinking about like the fall and like playing in games and stuff. Like my sole focus was just like, all right, put yourself in the best position you can, like grind. And then by the end of it, I remember I started the spring game. We had like the worst offensive spring game of all time. It was horrible. But yeah, it was awesome.
To be fair, the offense usually gets worked up pretty good by the defense during spring ball. So that wasn't just on you guys. It was your first spring ball, so you didn't know. But that's usually how it goes.
That was tough. That especially like like spring ball practices, we definitely got, you know, we got work. And it was also, you know, the new offense, all that stuff. But that spring game, like, that was so bad. I think Gervais had like 4 interceptions.
Yeah, Gervais had 3 picks, and we don't mention that on this podcast. So all we're right. just going to skip past that.
Yeah, I don't ever want to think about that again.
No.
Horrible.
But what's even worse than that, nobody has ever had a worse spring game, final spring game experience than Macon Pleva. My guy, it was the very last drive of the spring game. Coach Ferentz must have been pissed because there was 8 consecutive B plays called with the twos, and Macon had to run 8 consecutive B plays with the second group to end his senior spring game.
That's probably still affecting him to this day.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It 100% is.
He wakes up and thinks about it. Drake, we did talk about our boy Malik. He had a pretty poor last spring game performance.
Malik's last spring game, it wouldn't have been his last spring game if there wasn't me.
Yeah. So then we work into that season, which would have been our senior season, Nick. And that's the fall of 2017. Yep. And I remember we open up. I mean, you score the first touchdown of the year against Wyoming.
Yeah.
Talk about that play. That's when, as a long snapper,
Dude,
know.
When you turn back to find that ball, oh, man.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So as a long snapper, I know kind of the general ebb and flow of how the team works. And I get a good feel for like who's actually doing stuff on both sides of the ball, cause I get to watch a lot. And I knew that like you were going to be a guy, but then you open up that first game and fuck, Nick Easley, long pass from the man, Nate Stanley. Hope y'all enjoyed that podcast on Monday, by the way.
Shout out to us.
Yeah, for real. And you come back, catch the ball, guy grabs onto you, you kind of do a little drag into the corner, dive into the corner of the end zone, touchdown Hawks.
Did you tell him to hit the weight room next time?
that was actually my boy. I went to JUCO with him. It was Rico Gafford.
Oh, really? He can absolutely fly.
Yeah, he was that's kind of like a story within that. Yeah, I went to he was my teammate at JUCO, and then after the game, he wouldn't talk to me. He didn't like.
That's
I was like,
amazing.
Like, what's up, man? Like, you know, good game. Like, great to play against you. He's like, good shit. But like, I don't want to talk to you right now. that moment was was incredible. You know, I wish I could tell you I remember everything about it, but I'm gonna be honest, I completely blacked out. And the only thing I remember is sitting there. So I like dove towards the pylon. Which Brian then told me, he's like, don't ever reach the ball like that. But I'm like, I needed to score that first.
That was my tug, Brian. Shut up.
That thing. But I remember sitting there on the ground and just like looking, and like the crowd was kind of going nuts, and like the ref hadn't signaled touchdown yet. And I just kind of sat there and I'm like, what just happened? Do? Like, what is going on? And I remember like, I feel bad. I feel like I kind of showed up James Butler, because he like ran down to celebrate with me and I was just kind of sitting there. And I was just like taken in the moment, and then it kind of hit me. And I remember I saw a big Ikey running down to celebrate with me. He dunked on me in the end zone. but yeah, that was a real special moment. I'll always remember that one.
Hell yeah.
That catch and touchdown combined with, I mean, just 20 minutes before that, your first swarm into Kinnick Stadium. Mm-hmm. How was that as a Hawkeye fan as a little kid and stuff like that?
It was electric. It all happened so fast. Like, I remember coming out and like, I don't know. It just like seemed like everything happened so fast, like that whole week. Like,
yep.
I knew it was game week, but it just all went by in a blur. And then all of a sudden it's like, I remember just thinking, I'm like, damn, like it's time to go. Like, it's time to play this game. Like, holy shit. I didn't know that this would come, and I didn't know it would come this fast. And like, this is how it happened. And I remember Coach Copeland, like the night before the game, he's like, you know, like you're a big part of the game plan tomorrow. Like, you're going to get the ball a ton. And I'm like, yeah, like, I do know that now.
Totally, sure.
But, you know, it doesn't really hit you until you're there in the moment. And it was really sweet. I mean, I'll never forget my first play in Kinnick Stadium. I go to my, like, in my receiver stance, and my front leg was, like, shaking. Like, I couldn't I was like, what is, like, I'm really out here right now.
Yeah, I don't know. I had that same experience.
The same one, too.
First Holy snap shit. Ever, especially with the ball in your hands. Like,
I bet. Like,
19-year-old Polecat runs out there, not Polecat yet, but
you could like my hands were probably a little like that, and it's a good thing that the ball got there because
so Ease, you'll appreciate this. My first ever play was also against Iowa State. I was also standing out on the field, looking around the stadium in complete disbelief that I was playing in Jack Trice for the Hawks.
Yeah,
that it was actually happening. And then I went ahead and got knocked unconscious on my very first snap ever.
That's amazing. Man, oh, real shit. Good. Oh, yep. That's awesome. I actually didn't know that. That's hilarious.
That was a touchback.
I got flatlined. It was a touchback, and I was so excited to just, like, do the play that I disregarded the touchback, and I went to hit the guy, and he hit me right in the mouth and just flatlined me.
Oh, did you get up? Like, did they have to help you off?
No. I got up, but I was like, Ike and I went to get DP-do that night after the game. And like, I was still, like nauseous. I still was in a fog.
You're messed up.
Oh, man. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
First play ever.
That's incredible.
Man, the memes. So then we go on in that season. How are you feeling? I mean, we progressed through that season. Obviously, like you said, not only were you a big part of that game, but you were a big part of us that year. Like, we needed you bad. And your relationship with Nate obviously got better as time went on, more reps, all that. And we finished the season. We win the New Era Pinstripe Bowl. And now...
Woohoo!
With a sick catch by Ease too.
Yeah.
That was a fun game, man. That I said
that was not a fun game.
No, that was not a fun game. That field was so frozen. I fell on that catch. It was literally the only play I made all game. Like the only time I hit the ground, I think, other than the one time I slipped coming out of the huddle. But I had a bruise on my knee for like a month after that game, just from falling one freaking time on that turf.
Kevin still has a bruise on his frontal lobe.
My frontal lobe is permanently disabled due to the one, the field, two, the freaking meathead that put his face mesh straight into my temple. I can't say bad memories because there are no memories. There's no memories.
I love every time that comes up. I have a bruise on my ass still from Colton kicking the ball straight into me on the punt.
Unbelievable.
Oh my goodness.
I've never, I mean, go out for all those that are wondering what that feels like. It's a perfect time right now as we record this. Well, I guess it's a little warm. It's about 37. Wait till it drops back down into the 20s here in this nice Iowa winter. Get a football and let it sit out there for about 2 hours. Get it real nice and firm. And then have someone kick that thing right into the backside of you. And that's kind of how.
Those things are freaking bricks when they're outside and cold.
That's a tough look.
Yeah, to Colton's defense, to hit a good punt in anything less than freezing temperatures is honestly not easy to do. So,
especially when the footing was like that was, everybody got a pass on that game.
Yeah, impossible.
They're, you can't like evaluate anything that happened in that game. That is literally
you guys watched that thing?
No.
Yeah, I rewatched
it
on YouTube.
It looks like everyone's out there like in slow-mo. It's literally just the ugliest game ever. I'm embarrassed that's out there.
Yeah.
It literally looks like a bunch of guys like got together on like Christmas Eve on some frozen field, and they're out there playing in gym shoes.
But after having too much to drink.
Yeah.
Because everybody's falling down.
Yeah,
they have the coordination of a 4-year-old toddler, too. Yeah. That's literally what that game was.
The full game is up on YouTube, and I went and rewatched it at, like, 2x speed, and they cut it together so that there's no time in between plays, so you can watch the whole thing in, like, 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And it's not an entertaining game. Like, for fans, whoever watched that game, horrible football game. Like,
no.
But I'm glad we won.
Yeah, way glad we won.
And it was
the party afterwards was so cool.
It was cool playing in Yankee Stadium, too. Like, that was fun. But
yeah, one thing about that, do you guys remember Akram Wadley somehow, like, especially on kick returns, somehow just had the magical foot? Like, he was taking it, like, he was the only one, at least
he was our offense
during that game. Yeah. And, like, his kick returns were amazing. He was running full speed on those kick returns. Like, he had actual footing. It was insane.
Yeah.
Did you guys wear cleats or did you guys wear shoes? I think I wore
cleats.
Shoes.
I wore cleats.
I think I switched at halftime to shoes, but those were worse.
The field was so bad that not even moving, like to get down into a long snapper position where you have to, you know, inch your feet out about 6 inches on each side, taking my feet from underneath my hip stance, put it any wider than your hips, and there is no footing. My feet were sliding out as I was trying to snap the ball. I was like, all right, well, I'm going to either tear my groin or throw it over Colton's head or both. And we got lucky and somehow missed on both of those. But, Nick, I see you're sipping on some a little morning brew. You a coffee guy?
Dude, huge coffee guy, especially right now. So I'm fasting this morning. Shout out Tyler Cleaver. Yeah. You know a little bit about the fasting life. So I do a little bit of intermittent fasting like a few days a week. But I can't make it through without some coffee. Like, I'm a huge pussy. If I don't have coffee, I will not make it. Like, I'll be so hungry by like hour 12.
Yeah, you are a pussy. You're definitely a pussy.
But like coffee has like a huge appetite suppressing effect for me. Like, if I drink some coffee, I probably could make it 24 hours or more, like pretty easy.
Well, I know anyone can make it that long. You just have to like suck it up a little bit.
Yeah, you just got to grind it.
You drink straight black coffee?
Yep. During the fast. Yeah.
All right. So you're you're a little bit of a hardo then. That's the other thing is you were always kind of bodied up. Like you came in the door, you were always lean, kind of challenged Kevin for that physique competition on the team a little bit.
I don't think anyone will ever beat Kev for, you know, beach body season, but I did a little something.
We got some sloppy days at the end there. I think you were looking pretty good. I think the girls were looking at you and Summit more than they were at
I don't know. But that was
yeah, they were definitely looking at him more in Summit because he scored the touchdowns.
That's right.
The guys who score the touchdowns get the girls.
Yeah. That's a true story. So we finished that year. And we graduated, and you know, these three guys took a shot at the NFL, 0-for-3. And you had one
shooter
more.
Shoot, man.
Yeah,
you gotta take your shot. Man.
Yeah, you miss every shot, man, that you don't take. So
absolutely,
hey man, some of the greatest baseball players in history just had 0-for-3 days.
Okay. That's true. All right. That's true. Regardless. You then are heading into the offseason. You didn't redshirt. You obviously at this point know that you're a huge part moving forward. You've got one season left in Iowa City. What's the mindset there moving into that offseason? Maybe also talk about the weird dynamic of coming in halfway through your career and you weren't there from the beginning. And at Iowa, at least, it's such a developmental program and a respect program where you kind of earn your stripes as a freshman, going through the shit with Doyle, all that stuff. And for a lot of guys that come in halfway through, and I don't want to bring up any hard feelings, but for those that didn't like our Oliver Martin episode, you're seeing a little bit of it with him. You know, he wasn't a big part of it this year, and it's because he came in with already a couple years of college under his belt. Sometimes when you don't start as a freshman and work your way up, getting into a leadership role is a hard thing to do, but I think that's something that you did pretty well, Nick, and talk about kind of working into that and then moving into your senior year.
Yeah. You know, it was weird. I was just talking about that with my dad the other day. It kind of feels like I didn't get enough time, you know? Right. And I wish I would have had a little more time because I was obviously, you know, some of the best 2.5 years of my life. And I enjoyed every bit of it, but yeah, I knew after I didn't redshirt that junior year, and going into the senior year, and I knew like if I was going to make this happen, if I was going to, you know, keep advancing, like I had to get to work. Like there wasn't any time to wait, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And huge credit to the other guys on the team. When I came in, you know, I was accepted. Like all you guys, you know, you guys accepted me and embraced me, and allowed me to kind of move into a leadership role right away. And also the receiver room, you know, was pretty young, especially, you know, after Vandy left. So somebody had to do it. Somebody had to step up. And I thought, why not me? And, you know, just tried to embrace or accept that role as best I could and do the best I could. So
at Iowa, it doesn't really matter if you, have 5 stars or you don't. Like if you're out there producing and you're out there earning respect from the top down, like you're a leader. It doesn't matter if you got scholarship money, if you don't got scholarship money, whatever.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Washed Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Washed Up Walk-Ons.
Like, if you're a producer, you're going to be a leader.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. Like, people don't even know in that, within the program, like, people didn't even know that I wasn't on scholarship. Like,
yep.
I remember James Butler came in. He's like, he found out like halfway through the year that I was a walk-on. And he's like, you're not on scholarship? I'm like, no, man. Like, I'm paying money to do this shit.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? That's crazy. Like, I've been here, you know, however many months. He's like, I had no idea.
Yeah.
But
I had that same experience.
This episode is reminding me. I got to hit up James Butler ASAP to get on here.
JB, he scored 2 touchdowns in the XFL game yesterday.
Yeah,
he's the GOAT.
Yeah,
so, I love me some James Butler, man.
I had that same experience, Nick. I started for 2 years. I mean, obviously, specialist is a different game. You kind of have to go out and it's usually 100%. At least at Iowa, you have to go out and prove you can do it for a season before you get that scholarship. For me, it was 2 seasons, and so I had a lot of time. That I had been kind of the guy on punt team, the guy in the special teams room doing the snapping and all that. And so I had multiple guys who were older than us at some point figure out that I wasn't scholarshiped yet. And they would be like, you're a walk-on? Like,
yep.
And it feels good, but it also feels bad at the same time. It's like,
yeah, I know that exact feeling. You feel cool because you're like, dang, like they don't even know. But then at the same time, you're like, wow, I wish I was getting that stipend,
right.
Not paying money for this education. But
yeah, the off season in that year, then leading up into your senior season, the chemistry with Nate and all of the whole offense, I'm sure had to have just increased another level. You guys were at that point, it's 2018, and you guys are going into that season. You capped that season with the win against Mississippi State, which, of course,
big win.
The boy balled out in that game as well.
That was a good one.
Talk that off season into the season for your last year in the uniform.
Yeah, that was huge. You know, getting some familiarity with Nate, and then also the emergence, like for that team. You know, the emergence of we knew Noah Fant was a freak and he was good, but the emergence of the stud, the legend, T.J. Hawkinson. And getting to work with those guys, you know, Noah, TJ, and, you know, being a part of that with 2 first-round tight ends and then the legend Nathan Stanley was awesome, and getting to work with them. And, you know, I love those dudes. In that offseason, we worked a lot together and just worked timing, you know, getting to know each other. Me and Nate used to do group sessions with Carmen. Shout out to her.
Let's go.
Dude, yeah, she gets so many shout outs on here. Carmen, the GOAT.
She's incredible.
The last 3 or 4 episodes, every single guest has mentioned Carmen. Like,
she's a part of the success, man.
I mean, she's mental, your mom, Drake.
The mental part of the game is so, it's so serious.
I don't know what she's getting paid, but they should pay her more.
More.
Incredible. I don't even know where I was going with that.
I guess I kind of cut it off short, but. Yeah, no, Mississippi, that season was awesome, capped off with that awesome bowl win. And then, I mean, I think, you know, talking to the guys there, it kind of set the table. Like, you saw the offense this year and the out wides, you know, stepping up. And, you know, that's kind of the legacy or the – just if I could, you know, I'm not saying I was good enough to leave a legacy or anything, but if there's any impression that I could leave on the Iowa football program, it's definitely I just wanted to impact those younger receivers and, you know, lead them and make them better and – I feel like I, you know, was able to do that, and the receiver room got a ton better, and I was super proud of those guys, seeing Amir, Brandon, Nico Reganey ball out this year and do their thing.
Absolutely. I think you definitely did leave an impact. Back to the Noah and TJ thing, I mean, just that shit doesn't happen. 2 first-round tight ends from the same team. Talk about how on the field during games, having them on the offense made your job easier.
Dude, I mean, they just draw all the attention. Like, everyone's worried about, you know, at the beginning of the year, everyone's worried about Noah because he's, you know, 250 pounds and he'll run by you. Dude's like the fastest guy on the field.
Which is the least fair thing of all time. How do you get insane. That? Where it's do you sign fair. Up for that genetics?
I don't know, but I need to find out. I need to Same. Get my kids some of those. no, he was an absolute freak show. And then you got TJ Hawkinson just, I don't want to say
also
out of
a freak show.
Yeah, I don't know, not out of nowhere because we knew what he could do. And, you know, the year before the Ohio State game, he just balled out.
George had been calling it since he was playing on scout team. He's like, this kid's the truth.
Yeah. But then he just busts on the scene. And those two were getting the attention of, like, everyone. It was insane. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, I remember I scored a touchdown versus Minnesota. And I was, like, one-on-one with their Mike linebacker because they put everyone – because, like, everyone else was – I was almost insulted. I'm like, yeah, I'll take this touchdown.
Nick, like, we actually got to go back to Minnesota in 2017, and I want to let you know that I still to this day have hard feelings towards you because rather than letting me get kicked out of the game for targeting and get making on ESPN and shit, you needed to gain a couple more yards.
Yeah, that was my bad. Also, I decided that I didn't want to score a touchdown on that play either. That wasn't good for me. That was just a, you know, I don't know. I just didn't want to make a highlight, I guess. I just wanted to settle for a gain, not a game-breaking play.
Grady Ross was plenty good enough to play all the snaps. So really all I had to do was just set the statement. Just let the guy know that if you fucking walk on our field, your head's going to roll around. But you didn't let me do that.
I'm sorry. If I could go back, I would let you kill that guy.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
what a guy. You know, that's really a true teammate right there. Before we move on to your post career and talk, you know, you had that great bowl game to finish and we'll talk about that. You were scholarshiped at some point. At what point was that?
Yeah, it was after the winter of my or the second semester of my junior year. So after the season.
Okay.
Yeah, KF, like, you know, you get like all these other programs do like those big scholarship reveals, which are just mm-hmm. not KF style at all. And I'm glad.
Mm-mm.
But I remember after it was after a bull prep practice and KF comes up like he like I was walking off the field and he says, Nick, can I talk to you for a second? I'm like, shit, what did I do? So I exactly. go over to him.
Hey, Nick, huh?
Yeah, hey, Nick. And so I go over to talk to him. He's like, you know, how's the family and all this stuff? I'm like, what is this guy getting at? And he goes, well, I just want you to know that you should already know this. And I'm assuming that you already already figured this out. But you will be on scholarship the moment you step back on campus next semester. And I'm like, let's freaking go, man. Thank you so much. And I probably said some stuff. I was just like, you know, thank you so much. My family appreciates this. It's hard. Like, this is a dream come true.
Dude, when you awesome. Get it, it's like you turn into like a five-year-old little schoolboy. You're like, golly.
I was about to cry.
I wish I would have got it like that. I got a text from KB in the summer that said, hey, go sign your scholarship papers at Carver today. That's it. That's all it was. It wasn't even from KF or anybody. It was just KB, the legend, Kelvin Bell. He texted me and another guy that was on that was also getting it and said, hey guys, coach is putting you on scholarship. You need to go sign your papers over at Carver by like 2 o'clock today. And I was like, it was like that feeling of like, hell yeah. But then it was also like, man, that was it. Like,
yeah, you're waiting for it to be a big deal. And it's just like, well, that's, you know, you're on scholarship and they don't tell anybody. Like it's just,
nope.
It's just, that's how
yeah,
they
tell
roll.
People
and
if
like
you
it.
Want to. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how was,
so I got a question before.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we move on. I don't know if you're still going to go into college stuff, but so like you get on campus January, 2017, and then like, you know, August of 2018, you're already a senior. Like it flew by for us and we had 5 years there. Like how fast did it fly by? And what's it like, you know, you're a year and a half in the program. Like, okay, you're the senior leader in the wide receiver now.
It was so fast. Like I think about that all the time. It was just, it went by so quickly. And I wish I had some more time of it, man. It was so fun. You know, I had a blast doing it and I wouldn't change it for anything, but damn, I wish I wouldn't have been a slapdick in high school, and I wish I would have had 4 years at Iowa or 5 years at Iowa.
But so we just talked about this the other day in that you even leveled up. Like, you, from what everybody says, you can't get better than Iowa. You know, like, everything that Iowa offers, it's amazing. But if there's one place where the fans are even crazier, you just found them. So, like, you found the environment in the NFL that can breed some pretty good fun.
Dude, I know, but that stuff is crazy. Like, it's when you go up there and you see them tailgating at games and stuff.
Hell yeah.
People are just going nuts. Like, we'll lose it. Like, people are at the airport when you come back from game. Like, it's crazy. They're wild.
So we finished that Mississippi State game. Obviously, a huge win for the program. SEC opponent. I know Doyle's hyping it up. You know, as you guys prepare for that game, we got SEC opponent. Big time bowl game, prime time, whatever. You obviously had a tutter in that game. A beautiful little seam route. I don't know if it was a seam route exactly, but yeah. I mean, you played great. Talk about finishing your career on that note and then bring us into that next spring of training with the boys to compete on pro day.
Which you guys know is the best one. But anyway. So I, you know, going to that game, I just wanted to, I don't know, I kind of want to go out with a bang. And I remember talking to my dad and it's like, holy shit, like, last game's already here. And I remember thinking, we talked about it. We're like, well, it kind of came in with a bang with that first Wyoming game, like, got to leave with one. Right. So, you know, it was awesome. Just a hell of a win with the guys. I mean, I couldn't imagine like a happier locker room after that game than what we had. And it was special, and seeing, you know, getting a guy like Jake Javas, you know, balling out on the other side, two walk-ons just doing it big. That was a lot of fun. And then moving into the next semester with pro day training in Iowa City, which is a blast when it's just you and the boys and you can't really get yelled at by the coaches.
Oh, how amazing is that? Like, what?
It doesn't get better, dude. Like, you're working out with your friends all day and dude, then you just like go home and play Fortnite.
Yes.
I would relive that semester every year if I could. It was amazing.
Every day for the rest of my life. I mean,
hell yeah.
If you could buy, if there was a way to sign up to do that, I don't know if there's an amount of money. I would pay all the money in my bank account to do that for four more months. I mean, just unbelievable. So did you feel like as you guys, we just talked to Nate the other day, they just introduced the three-cone drill.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about kind of the ins and outs of training for Pro Day and how you felt leading up and how Pro Day went. And
Have gone well.
Your confidence in the kind of actual shot that you were going to get at the next level.
Yeah. You know, I knew – I don't know. We kind of knew I wasn't going to get drafted.
Same.
Probably going to be an undrafted free agent guy, hopefully get an undrafted free agent contract and, you know, rather than just, you know, mini camp invite or whatever. So I, you know, going into pro day, I had trained well leading up to it and I knew that I had to kind of put on a show, try to get some attention. I knew especially the short shuttle. So the pro agility and the three cone would be big for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just with, you know, short area quickness and showing that I kind of had that ability. And I knew, and obviously, you know, I'm not super top end fast, so I knew I wasn't going to wow anybody with my 40. I can only bench press 225 like 8 times or something.
Hey, guess what? You still beat me.
By injury default. That's not fair. So I came out and, you know, I had a good day. Got to meet with some teams afterwards. It was awesome. Bills were not one of the teams I met with afterwards, actually. It was fun. And then, you know, got that call after draft day. Actually, during the draft, they said, you know, if you don't get drafted, we'd like to sign you to a contract afterwards. It was a real blessing. It was awesome.
What did what were the kind of times that you put up on pro day? What were you slinging out there?
Oh man, I can't even remember. I want to say I ran. Well, my like,
Kluwer just wants to know if he ran a faster three cone than you. That's all he wants to know.
Yeah, I think I ran like Doyle time and like Iowa time. I think they had me at like 6.7
That's
on the
so outstanding.
Cone. Yeah, I can't remember.
Right. Sounds about right.
Yeah, and then I was 3.90 on the
also so outstanding.
So that's
that's for those listening. Putting your hand down, that's pretty good.
Yeah, for those listening, that's elite. on both ends.
That's the elite of the elite.
Like at the draft, at the combine, that's probably first in both or close.
Yeah, I think it would have been. I think it would have been like second in three cone, and then like first in pro agility by a lot.
Yeah, three.
And we got a shout out. We got a shout out Doyler because literally no one else knows how to run a three cone.
No,
yeah. Absolutely. They do such a good job of teaching it, but literally no one else. Like they run it, and you just look at them like, who taught you how to do this?
When I watch people run it wrong, it makes me cringe. It's like, dude.
I know, and I feel bad kind of because it's just like, I mean, it's just about the coaching and what they're getting, you know?
Yeah,
and
but you can't feel bad because that's your secret to the
absolutely.
Show.
Well, I feel bad for like, you know, some guys, but then the guys that go and like pay trainers, like teach them how to just prepare for the combine and then they run it like an idiot. Then I kind of laugh at them.
Yeah.
Then they're like, yeah, you paid money to look like a fool.
That's tough.
Exactly.
Bills bring you in to mini camp or to start, right? Just a rookie mini camp.
Yeah, well, so it was I signed an undrafted free agent contract right away.
Okay.
But then, you go into rookie minicamp, do rookie minicamp, and then get into OTAs and get to business. It was nuts, you know, going to, you know, you're in Iowa City, and then a few days later, you're in practices in the NFL.
How elite is it rooming with Girth in Buffalo?
It doesn't get better, dude. I tell him all the time, I'm like the luckiest guy ever because – I just get to live in his basement with him and Katie, and they're just absolute legends. And I'm like their kid. I'm basically teaching them how to raise a kid.
Right. You're going to have a sibling soon. You're going to have a sibling soon.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So, they'll yell at me in the basement. Multiple times I've been, like, playing Xbox in the basement, and Katie will, like, yell, be like, Nick, food's ready. It just brings me back to, like, when I was an actual child. I'm like, thanks, Mom.
That's amazing, Jesus.
That's
man.
I call her mom all the time. I call Mrs. her Mrs. Girth all the time. It's amazing.
We I call her Mrs. B.
At the Christmas party, we took a picture where they're like in the back, and I'm just like in front of them, like their son. It's phenomenal.
That's incredible. You get into practice and OTAs with the Bills. At any point, do you look up, or you're sitting there one day and you're just like, holy shit, like I'm from Newton, Iowa. I'm this 5'11 white kid from Newton, Iowa, and I'm in the NFL right now. Like,
it was when he caught a fade ball on Bleacher Report or something from, that.
And Josh Allen.
Yeah.
That was fun. I can tell you when that moment hit me. So Cole Beasley is a guy that I looked up to like for a long time. I think he's just got the sickest game. Like his routes are nuts.
And he raps.
And he raps. He's an absolute legend. So I remember getting there in OTAs and like he would just break things down for me, and like he would come up and like talk to me and be like, what'd you see there? And like I would tell him, and then he'd be like, all right, well, if that happens, like do this. And like he would be breaking down things to me on film, and like I got to watch film with, you know, just like me and him a couple times. And I mean, every time that I got to do that, I would just pinch myself, be like, this is Cole Beasley, like I'm working with Cole Beasley, and like he's a master of this craft, like he's exactly what I want to be, and I get to be in the same room with him and work with him. Like, that's incredible to me.
It's wild. He for sure is one of those guys that, in the small, quick white guy category, the Bill Belichick special, he's kind of one of those guys blazing the path. And, man, it's so fun to just watch and just have one of our, like, we live vicariously through our teammates who are
absolutely
who are in the NFL. 100%. And, you know, it's fun to see that not everyone's washed up, and watching you get that opportunity and take advantage of it is great. It's very heartwarming.
Thanks, boys.
So you're now, so like we said, now you're living with the Girth out there, rooming with him. What are the goals? Where do you see Nick Easley going from here? What is your life like right now? And
And will we see you as the next contestant on The Bachelor? That's a long term goal. That's kind of, well, actually maybe that's Plan B. I don't know. So I would love to hopefully, you know, keep learning from B's and kind of move into a role like that or something similar. and just keep playing ball, man. I just love playing. It's been a dream me to play, dream of mine to play in the NFL, and I feel like, you know, I'm right there. I'm tasting it. So I'm just trying to take it day by day and just keep going and keep getting better and better. And hopefully, you know, I can level up again a little more and, you know, just keep going.
Hell yeah.
It's all about getting that pizza. Gervas, we talked to Gervas.
Whole pie. Absolutely, whole pie.
Yeah, Gervas was talking about his slice of what he was getting paid when he was on the practice squad, and then they moved him up the 1 week to the active roster. Talked about how
he's getting the whole pizza.
The whole pizza became a little bit more. So,
man, he's getting that Gouda. I'm jealous. I need that.
And he's still collecting rent money from Kevin. Like, what a peasant.
So unreal.
No, get this. I was in Florida with him the other day, and he, like,
he probably asked you for Venmo to Uber or something.
Yeah, we Venmo. I think I Venmoed him to split like a Jack's Pizza or something.
Oh my God. Oh my God. I never want to talk to Jake Gervas again.
Dude, yeah, he's been mentioned so much recently on this podcast.
We give him so much shit.
Oh, it's so funny. Dude, he's the worst.
Love him. Yeah, he is the worst.
Before we cut this off, I don't want to cut it off. Is there any stories from Iowa City, favorite memories, maybe new ones you've made in Buffalo, anything that like is super pod worthy and that
Drake, you know the collapsed lung story. That'd be a good pod story.
Yeah. The collapsed lung story is a good one. I was really wondering why you were running out of bounds, man.
Yeah,
I was like, this is not my walk-on as far as I'm concerned.
You came up to me. I literally remember you came up to me like, you didn't want to score a touchdown, huh? And I'm like, I can't breathe, man. Like, I'm going to die. So against we'll tell the listeners.
But the funny joke is, so the inside joke of that is that when Nick came in and walked on, like I said, at first my mindset was, who is this guy? Because I don't know. That's just not like the walk-on way in my mind to do the Twitter thing.
Yeah.
But it was just a young Nick Easley. You know, it was what it was. He didn't know the Iowa way yet.
I was trying to get likes and retweets. Like,
I hear you, man. I hear you.
I'm still trying to do that.
Kluver does that on our washed-up walk-ons account all the time, but his jokes suck
all the time.
Ass.
All the time.
So – going back to this, though, I always used to tell Nick, once we formed a good friendship, I mean, it was immediate. We were friends immediately. But I always used to tell him, dude, I just want to score touchdowns like you, right? I just want to score touchdowns like you. And then I scored against Ohio State, and Nick didn't. So then Nick was like, dude, I just want to score touchdowns like you, man.
Absolutely.
And then neither of us scored against Purdue because our whole team sucked our own balls that day. Then the Nebraska game came and he didn't score, so I had to give him shit. Like, dude, I thought we wanted to score touchdowns. I thought you were trying to be like me and score touchdowns, and here you are running out of bounds like a pussy. But
yeah, that was
turns
tough.
Out you had broken ribs and no lungs. So
yeah, so against that game, which actually sucks. That play, it was an end around. Looking back on it, like, I totally could have ducked my way
that
into
was
the end zone.
1,000,000% 6 points.
And I was just like, fuck it, I'll go out of bounds. So in that first half of the Nebraska game, I had already had previously messed up ribs like that whole season after the Illinois game. So I like kind of get tackled funny in like that, I think it was the second quarter, and I like landed on the ball kind of weird. I think a ball like started to come out. So I really like landed with my ribs on top of the ball right where they were broken. So it hurt like hell. It sucked. And getting off the field, I think it was third down. I'm coming off the field, and I just remember, like, something in my chest just didn't feel right, like a little twinge or something. And I thought maybe it was just, like, I don't know, my ribs just being broken and being messed up. So I'm like, you know, fuck it, I'll play in this game and keep going, whatever. So I go into halftime, and I, like, go in, and I'm talking to the trainers, and I'm like, something doesn't feel right here. And they're, like, looking me over, and they're like, yeah, your ribs are, like, still broken, like, but you're fine. Like, you can keep playing this game.
But you're fine.
We'll just tighten up the flak jacket
not,
a little bit.
They're not fixed. They're still broken.
Yeah, but they're still broken. So I put this little, like, weak-ass pad on my ribs, and I go out there, and I'm just like, strap it up. Let's play in the game. So I remember I go out there for, like, halftime warm-ups, and I can't breathe. But I'm like, shit, well, I'm just going to keep going, whatever. So we go in the third quarter, and we kind of start, you know, we start blowing them out, whatever. But after like every single play, I am just absolutely gassed. Like, I was asking for subs left and right. And like, Cope was like, what's wrong with you? Like, you never ask for subs. Like, what's going on? I'm like, I don't know, man. I just don't feel right. And he's like checking on me on the bench or whatever. Like after between sessions, like, you okay? I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what's going on, but he's like, can you go back in the game? I'm like, yeah, like, let's keep going, whatever. So I'm
that's
like
the walk-on
out there,
mentality, man.
Yeah, yeah, because yeah. I mean, I don't want to come off the field. Like, you never know if you take yourself off the field if you're ever gonna get back on, you know.
Yep.
So
spoken like a walk-on.
Yeah, I just keep grinding. And literally, I remember at one point during the third, like during the third or fourth quarter, I thought to myself, I'm like, damn, I might die out here. But I'm like, if I die, I die.
Worth
like,
it.
Like, if I die, some bitch is gonna be in Lincoln.
If
and
I die,
winning the
this
game.
Is how I want to go out, right? Like playing ball with my boys for the Hawkeyes. Like, this is amazing. So
yeah.
I keep playing, keep playing.
Amen, brother. Hoorah.
Yeah. And then after
if he dies, he dies.
Exactly. So after the game, I like go with my friends from back home because it's the last game of the year. You can go home with whoever you want. So I go out with my buddies, like in Omaha, and you know, get after it. Like, I was having a great time. And I will have you know, I actually felt better the more I drank. You know, it kind
of
went away.
Of course.
But I woke up the next morning with like this weird cough, and I was just like, "What is going on?" So I go home to Newton, and I'm sitting on the couch all weekend.
Joke's on you. You had booze in your lungs.
Yeah, it was horrible, dude. And so then I come in on like Monday or Tuesday or whatever, and we had like a little shakeout run. And I remember we're doing the warm up, and we do like karaoke, and I literally just couldn't do it. Like I just couldn't move forward. So I just like look at Doyle and I just go like this. I'm like, can't do it. And I just start walking out. He's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, what's going on? And I literally just walked out and walked straight to the training room. And because I couldn't talk, I literally couldn't catch my breath. I was having like a panic attack.
Mm-hmm.
So I walk in there and they're like looking me over, whatever. And they're like, all right, well, we're going to send you to sports med. And so I go over to sports med. I get there and Dr. Peterson like does a chest x-ray. He like comes in the office and he's got this look on his face. And I'm like, what? And he's like, you have a collapsed lung. Like, you need to have a chest tube put in, like, right now. Like, we got to fix this. This is not good. And so I get over to the hospital, and they start sticking shit in my chest and performing the little collapsed lung deal they do. They took my oxygen level, and it was, like, super-duper low because I was all messed up. But, yeah, so I played in the game and went an entire weekend with a collapsed lung and just kept grinding it out.
Yeah, and you were just getting after it like an animal you are.
Not a better – no better story, just the walk-on mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also another story. You almost died twice.
You going out on Omaha.
Yeah, yeah. That was not a good decision. But, I mean, I had already committed to it. And, I mean, if I would have ducked out, my boys would have been like, what is wrong with you? And, honestly, I didn't have a ride home until the next day anyway. So, I mean,
so
I had to do something.
Here's a funny story. The day I broke my leg, I had committed to going out with my buddies as well after the Nebraska game.
Yep.
And it was two of my buddies' first time ever seeing me play, and I snapped my leg in half on the first play. So
Oh, shit.
I know you were more committed to your friends than I was. That's honestly bullshit on my part. I should have
made it
downtown.
Well, that's different. I don't think you could have made it out. That's all right.
Yeah, the doctors wouldn't let me out, even on, like on the morphine and stuff. I was trying
it's
to get
all
a wheelchair
right.
to go to Summit.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys did come to visit me, but what was I going to say?
You said there was another
part?
Way.
Oh yeah. You almost died. You almost died twice. So,
Iowa
State game.
One?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was rough. Dude, honestly, low key, like that junior year was pretty tough. Like health for me.
You almost died twice, dude. What do you mean? Kind of tough.
I don't know what was going on. I don't know, hanging out with one too many Iowa City women or what was going on, but,
yeah.
That was tough, boys. Yeah, so after the Iowa State game, I had strep throat. So I had a fever during the entire game, and like they were checking on me. And I remember towards the end of the game, it started getting really bad. I felt like my airway was getting cut off. So I'm like, you know, what's going on, whatever. I loaded up on all the good stuff, the Toradol, the ibuprofen, as much, probably way more than I should have taken.
Always. That's just pretty standard,
always.
Honestly.
You have to.
You're so, never was pissed.
Yeah, so I get after the game we get on the bus and I'm like trying to eat because I was starving but I couldn't eat, like I couldn't swallow, couldn't do anything. So I just thugged it out all the way home, and I'm like, I can sleep this off. So I go home and I sleep this off, and I wake up at about 8 a.m. the next morning, and I literally couldn't get air in my lungs. It was awful.
Jesus.
So I drove over to the training room because it was like the injury check-in time or whatever. I couldn't remember. And I go to see Russ, and he's like, we got to go to the emergency room. So Russ and I go over to the emergency room, and I had an abscess in my throat that was growing and beginning to cut off my airway. So they went in my throat while I was still awake. They just reached like a scalpel back in there and just sliced it on open. And it was that day, that is the most painful thing I've ever had happen to me in my entire life.
Wow.
It was horrible. Yeah. And not to get too graphic here, but when you have a huge abscess in your throat, like it's full of stuff.
Yeah.
So when they glance it open, all that stuff comes, you know, you get it. I projectile vomited that.
Speaking of projectile vomiting, Kevin has a great story for the podcast from our
yesterday
interaction together.
Let's hear it, Kev.
So Drake was in town. He was in Iowa City yesterday.
The Hawks.
And he came to watch the Hawks beat down on Nebraska. Go Hawks. And you know, I'm texting him like, hey man, we were planning on getting lunch. He's like, hey, so like he lands, I'm like, hey, what's up? You ready to go get lunch? He's like, man, I don't think lunch is gonna happen today. I'm like, why not? I got food poisoning.
I got food poisoning from a breakfast sandwich in the Arizona airport.
Drake walks into my house. Drake walks into my house, like hardly says a word, and literally just goes and lays face first on my living room floor. And like just doesn't say a word for the next like 20 minutes.
I projectile vomited twice on the plane and then again in Benton Street, my old house. I was there to visit Worf's and them and Shooter. And first of all, I'm like, dude, I got to take a shower right now. I'm going to try and like burn this out of myself. I don't know what's going on. So I just went and just cranked up the shower, right? Get out. I'm like, man, I kind of feel like a human being again. Let's see. They start talking about the 2018 Outback Bowl and how Tristan and Shooter got after it like they've never got after it before after that game. Uh-huh. Tristan says the word Admiral Nelson, and I just get up from the couch immediately, walk to the bathroom, and projectile vomit some more. So that was just a great day. First day back in Iowa City, no big deal.
Boys, I can't think of a worse place to have food poisoning than on an airplane.
Yep.
That's the worst possible situation. Like, you're just enclosed. You can't get away.
Dude,
that's
awful. You guys have ever heard me puke, I can't lay down, violent puker. So these people, like, my buddies were making fun of me, and Tristan and all them were making fun of me because when I was puking in Benton Street, they're like, did this happen on the plane? And I'm like, I only puke one way. And, like, they couldn't believe it. They're like, the whole plane had to be so shook. Aww.
That's terrible, boys.
What a horrible way to end this podcast.
Dude, I went to the game, and I legit thought when I got home I was going to have to clean up a dead body.
I wish. That would have been a story for the podcast.
Would have been something, man.
Turn on Drake's webcam. He's just laying there. anyway, Nick, thanks for joining us, man. This has been a long time coming.
Yeah, boys, thanks for having me.
And you are welcome back anytime. Hopefully, like, you guys win a Super Bowl next year or something crazy, and we can get you on after that. You maybe score touchdowns in it. Anything else from you two or you, Nick, that needs to be said today on this fine Sunday before we all just go chill?
I got nothing, but just thanks for having me. Shout out to the washed up walk-ons. You guys are a bunch of legends.
And shout out to the non-washed up walk-on who's still putting out for us, man.
We can go, baby. So let's go. Thanks for having me, boys.
You give us a Hawks by a million?
Hawks by a million, baby.
Let's go. What do you got, Kev?
I was going to say it's the non-washed up people around here that keep this podcast going.
Yeah, we don't do shit.
Yeah.
and on that note.
We ride your coattails, man, and we're just going to keep doing it.
On that note, thanks for listening, everybody. Another episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons, slowly closing in on 100 episodes. So,
which is tremendous.
Yeah. Hope everybody has a fantastic end of the week. You're going to be listening to this on Thursday or Friday. That's it. Walk-Ons out.
And if Nick Easley taught you one thing, it's that heart don't have stars.
I'm MJ Acosta Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, And be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.